Welcome to Monday. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. The 1 hour you simply must ingest. That's all. 1 hour. Think about the course of your day, everything that goes on, everything you listen to. Just 1 hour is all we ask. Monday through Thursday. Once we get to football season, we'll get back to doing Monday through Friday. But we're with you Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time. So much to talk about on today's show. Mondays are always... I never really like to put a guest on Mondays unless it's something earth-shattering because there's so much I can talk about and I only have an hour. I mean, I technically could go as long as I want, but for the purposes of the podcast, it would just be messy and I don't feel like doing that much editing. So welcome to Monday. Thank you for being with us. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to like our YouTube videos. Make sure to subscribe if you haven't done so yet. And even if you have, tell a friend. Make sure they subscribe as well. We've only recently started doing the show, so we're still new out there. We're trying to get the word out that we are out there. There is more coming from our Decibel 88 brand and the channel. One of these days, I'll explain why we called it Decibel 88. I'll let people guess, but if I gave you 1,000 guesses, you probably couldn't figure out what the actual reason is why we call it Decibel 88. So there's no use in trying, but you could try to guess, I suppose. So in the course of this show, we will tackle everything from golf to baseball to card collecting. Yeah, I got a card collecting story I want to slip in there. I had so much that I wanted to talk about today that I actually had to hold some stuff over until tomorrow. So if you don't necessarily hear everything you thought you might hear today, hang on. We'll have it for you on tomorrow's show. And if you miss any of the show here on YouTube, all you have to do is subscribe and download the Don't Mind Me podcast from our friends at Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. The podcast is available on all major and even non-major podcasting platforms. So we invite you to go and check that out as well. If you have a comment, leave it for us in the box, the chat room. You're more than welcome to do that. We enjoy that as well. So send those over to us at some point during the program too. All right. Let me start with the Stanley Cup final. And look, congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, the Colorado Avalanche. Why did I say Chicago Blackhawks? I had the Blackhawks in my head for some reason. I'm not sure why. But congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche on, look, a well-deserved Stanley Cup victory. You know, look, it just goes to show you how important rest is. And I don't want to overplay this whole thing about the rest that the Avalanche had versus the rest the Lightning had coming into this series, but you could just watch the series and tell that endurance and conditioning, because of, you know, how long these NHL seasons are, was a major factor. But it was a hotly contested series. The last three games of the series were very close. The first three games were not. And Colorado wins. And I'm not going to pretend to be hockey guy and some hockey expert, because anybody who knows me knows that's simply not who I am. So I'm not going to pretend to be hockey guy. But as you look at the screen, if you're watching us today, if you look at the screen, you'll notice that while I have images of the Stanley Cup final and some hockey players on there, I have images of a lot of things. And the reason I bring this up, and the reason we put that on the screen today, is it's the age-old problem for hockey. look, hockey guy is going to watch regardless. Hockey woman is going to watch regardless. If you're a hockey fan, you know, you're into it no matter what. It is a highly regional game, much like people like to say about Major League Baseball, or much like people like to say about the NBA, although I think less about the NBA in that regard than I do about baseball. But the most regional of the four major sports, sorry MLS and sorry WNBA, the most regional is hockey, without question. And that only serves to continue, and it only makes sense that that will continue when you have a situation, and it's a problem for hockey, and I see it every year in this sport. The problem with hockey is you don't have a recognizable face in the game. If I turn on a Subway commercial for the 7,000th time that it scrolls across my screen or it pops up during a game or something I'm watching on TV, who do I see? I see Derek Jeter. I see Charles Barkley. I see Tom Brady. I see Rob Gronkowski. I see Stephen Curry. You know who I don't see? Alex Ovechkin. You know who I don't see? Austin Matthews. You know who I don't see? Sidney Crosby. You know who I don't see? Connor McDavid. I don't see Cale Makar. I don't see any of these people. I don't see any of them. And if there's one thing you can bang on hockey about, it's the fact, and look, maybe they just don't care. Maybe the financial model is such that they don't need that sort of national recognition. I don't know what the TV ratings were. I'm sure at some point during the show I'll be able to go and check and see if they've come in yet. It is close to noon on the East Coast, so perhaps the numbers have come in. But the problem for hockey is recognizability. If you put Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and Cale Makar in a lineup, I couldn't tell you which one was which. If you had them serving me my Starbucks drink that I'll go get later today, couldn't tell you who they are. And it's nothing to do with the fact that I don't watch as much hockey as I do baseball or any of these other sports. The reality is, I mean, my God, what was this? Simone Biles is in the ad for Subway before a hockey player is. This is a big problem for this sport and why it's always going to be the redheaded stepchild of the major sports. Because people simply don't know who these stars are. And the sad part is, these are phenomenal athletes doing amazing things every night on the ice. And even with ESPN picking it up and TNT running with the contract this year, they got it off god-awful NBC Sports, which nobody could find on the dial. And I say that as somebody who's worked for NBC Sports. I loved my time there, but the problem with NBC Sports Network was nobody knew where to find it. So now you even have it on ESPN, and ESPN devoting more attention. And I still think the general national sports guy, the general daily average sports fan, the guy who's tuning in two or three nights a week, the guy who's watching SportsCenter a few nights a week, he still won't be able to tell you who Hockey Guy is, even after a whole season of ESPN trying to shove it down your throat because now they actually make money from it, as opposed to before when they basically ignored it with the exception of Barry Melrose, because they weren't using it to make money, which is ESPN's shtick. That's their game. ESPN covers what makes them money and what's already within their family of products. Dirty little secret. Anybody in the industry knows that that's true. But if you tell me who's Shohei Ohtani, if you show me a picture of Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, Fernando Tatis, Ronald Acuna Jr. If you show me a picture of those guys, I can tell you who they are. And guess what? I don't watch their games by and large, other than Judge, who I watch a lot of because I'm a Yankee fan. Look, there's Austin Matthews on our screen. Who would know who he is? That could be a Halloween costume for all I know. That could be some guy dressing up for Halloween. Show me who Shohei Ohtani is. I know who he is. Mike Trout, I know who he is. Joe Burrow? Show me a picture of Joe Burrow. I'll be able to tell you who Joe Burrow is. Justin Herbert, talented quarterback of the San Diego Chargers. Know who he is. Joe Cool, there he is. Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Rob Gronkowski, who just retired. You see, you know who all these guys are. And you always have. And it's not because they were around for a long time. NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Average sports fan knows who Giannis is, who Luka is. Stephen Curry, LeBron. But you can't do that in hockey. And the sport has failed miserably in promoting its biggest stars and getting average sports guy, general sports guy, to watch them. You know, baseball went out and did this thing this year with Apple TV, which I've only watched one broadcast, and I didn't have a problem with it. Some people have been banging on certain announcers. We won't go down that road because that's a Pandora's box we don't need to open for reasons I need not divulge. But Apple, you know, Major League Baseball said, we're going to do a deal with Apple TV. I don't know how many people are watching baseball games on Apple TV, but they made the effort to reach out to that audience they were not previously reaching. Apple TV, Major League Baseball did the same thing with Peacock. Hey, let's get our games into someplace different where maybe our viewers are not. Major League Baseball did the deal with YouTube, I believe. Some teams have games on Amazon Prime. I know the Yankees do, which might drive some of their fans nuts. But again, another topic, another time. The NBA's done this really cool thing with Twitter where you can watch games on Twitter with alternate angles and alternate views, and they got different people announcing them. The NFL has obviously started to reach out with Amazon Prime. And their, you know, their other initiatives that they're putting out there. Eventually, there's going to be an app where you're going to be able to get a game, you know, games for NFL. I mean, what is hockey doing? You had a riveting postseason, at least on the Eastern Conference side. The Western Conference, not so much. You had a good Stanley Cup. Three games, eh. Last three games were really good. Down to the wire. Lightning trying to win a third Stanley Cup. Dynastic aspirations. And what'd you get at the end of the day if you were a hockey fan? I mean, for you, it was fine. But for the general sports fan, all right, season's over. Bye. We're moving on. Offseason in the NFL. Oh, my God, we could talk about it every day on this show. I intentionally do not because there's a million shows out there that are talking about the NFL offseason and who has a hangnail and who didn't report to, you know, mandatory training camps or any of this minutia. I'm not going to do that because there's a million other podcasts and a million other shows out there that are going to do that. We do some macro, we do some micro. Baseball's offseason is always a blast with player movement. NBA, we haven't stopped talking about it nonstop around the sports world since the NBA Finals ended. And that's because there is reason. The way the sport is set up, it lends itself to constantly talking about it. And that's why these players that I mentioned are in your brain. That's why they're in your subconscious. Because the league has set it up that way. And because I could turn on a Subway commercial and I'll see one of these famous athletes from these sports. So that you associate them with your favorite brands, whatever they may be. Where has hockey ever tried to do that? Are they that arrogant that they think their sport is just so good? I mean, Gary Bettman in this regard has failed miserably. There's no getting around it. He's failed. I don't know. I don't know. And I don't see any signs of it changing, at least as long as Gary Bettman's in charge. And this isn't me trying to say Gary Bettman needs to lose his job or any of this stuff. It's none of that. None of that at all. It's just me simply pointing out why this league will always be the redheaded stepchild. I'm Jason Page. Thanks for listening to us. If you're listening on the Believe Podcast Network, they have a million podcasts. I mean, not literally, but figuratively. They have a zillion podcasts. If you haven't checked them out, believe.com, B-L-E-A-V.com. If you haven't subscribed to the Don't Mind Me podcast from Believe, make sure to do that. Also, you have the opportunity to subscribe to our YouTube channel that you're watching now. Please do so. And if you haven't done so yet, make sure to give us a like if you enjoy what you're watching. I want to get into who could be the next $40 million man in baseball. Believe it or not, somebody is making $40 million a year already in baseball. But he could be the first position player to make $40 million a year in baseball. Who is he? I'll explain as we continue. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Don't mind me. I'm Jason Page. If you miss anything from the show, all you got to do is head over to our YouTube channel, the Decibel 88 YouTube channel, and you can go and watch previous shows, previous interviews we've done. Great one up there with Patrick McEnroe previewing Wimbledon. How about Venus Williams at 42? Serena's 40, playing in the singles side. Venus is 42, and she might play mixed doubles, there's rumors of. It's pretty cool. You could play doubles forever, though. I live in Palm Springs, California, where we bring the show to you from. And I see the old-timers out here on the tennis courts all the time. And tennis, especially doubles, you could play that forever. Singles, a little harder. And they do it, but this time of year, you got to get out on the courts early. Because it'll be 110 today. But it's a dry heat, I promise you. Anyways, anything you miss from the show, you can go and check it out on the YouTube channel, or we podcast the show daily, courtesy of Believe. Go and check that out as well. So, here we are, 72 or 73 games into the Major League Baseball season. And here we are with the New York Yankees atop the baseball world as a team and Aaron Judge atop the baseball world as really the star of the game right now. I mean, having a fantastic season. He's on pace for 60-plus home runs, which, you know, in days past and in years past may not have been such a big deal. But it certainly is now, I think, with baseballs not traveling the way they used to. you know, it's sort of a different game than it was 10, 15 years ago when a lot of guys were hitting those sorts of home runs. It's not really like that anymore. I mean, Aaron Judge has, I think, 28 home runs, and he's not even close. I mean, nobody's even close when you talk about who's behind him. You know, Yordan Alvarez is having a nice year, and that's all great. But right now, if you did a vote of who the MVP is 72 or 73 games into the season, it's Aaron Judge. There's no doubt about it. And for reasons like this.
Thursday night, the pitch is swung on and hit in the inner deep left. That ball's high. It is far. It is gone. It's a walk-off three-run home run. It's a Judgeian blast to deep left center into the bullpen. And the Yankees win the ball game by the score of 6-3. All right, all rise. Here comes the Judge. Well, in this phenomenal Yankee season, another phenomenal game.
I mean, Aaron Judge single-handedly got the Yankees a split against the Houston Astros. And let me tell you, there were moments on Sunday, if you're a Yankee fan, where you started to wonder, uh-oh, are the Astros the kryptonite to the Yankees Superman? Because the Yankees got no hit, seven innings from Christian Javier, on Saturday, and then a couple of relievers for the Astros able to combine on a no-hitter on Saturday. And then the Yankees didn't have a hit until the seventh inning on Sunday, and that was a Giancarlo Stanton home run. Other than that, the Yankees didn't do much. They got a walk-off win where they had to come from behind on Thursday. They lose on Friday. They lose on Saturday. They're in danger of losing three of four at home where they have been dominant, where they had won 15 in a row until their loss on Friday. And Aaron Judge single-handedly, at least from an offensive standpoint, got the Yankees a split with the Astros. I mean, this guy is the MVP right now through the first, well, nearly half of the Major League Baseball season. And now you're just left to wonder, if he continues at this pace, and I get that's a big if. Guys get hurt. Look what happened to Bryce Harper out indefinitely. Got hit in the thumb. It's fractured. You know, it's terrible for the game of baseball when you lose these guys. And Yordan Alvarez is having a nice year, although the Yankees were able to cool him off a bit with the exception of his one home run that he hit, I believe, on Thursday. But, I mean, I don't think anybody would doubt right now the MVP, not just of the American League, but of Major League Baseball this year, has been Aaron Judge. In a year where he bet on himself, in a year where he said, nah, I don't want $30 million a year, I want more, and I think I'm worth it. And right now he's proving he is worth every bit of whatever he's asking for. He's a plus defensive guy. He's got a good arm. He can still track it, even though he's not your prototypical center fielder in terms of speed. He's got a cannon for an arm. Oh, yeah, and he's also hitting over 300 with 28 home runs and 50-plus RBIs. He's close to 60 on the year. And you have to ask yourself, what are the Yankees waiting for? I know Judge said he's not going to talk contract during the season. Thankfully, him and the team, they were able to come to terms on an arbitration deal so that they didn't have to go through the messiness of the Yankees trying to go after the whatever faults they have with him. Maybe he hasn't been healthy enough over the first 7 years of his career. Maybe that would be the one thing they'd go after in an arbitration hearing. Aside from that, there's nothing you can go after Aaron Judge for. He's been a model citizen. You never hear about Aaron Judge in any trouble. And I was thinking about it as I was preparing for the show last night. I was trying to think about, all right, when did the Yankees, how did the Yankees handle Derek Jeter? Now, I get they're completely different positions, types of player. I'm not comparing Jeter to Judge. Other than the fact that I think they both know how to handle the media really well. I mean, Aaron Judge does a really good job with handling the media. But 8 years after his rookie season, Derek Jeter was named the Yankees captain. Now, again, they won a ton of World Series. I mean, Derek Jeter, all he knew was winning World Series from the time he came into the league. Now, again, different team, playing with different guys, different era of baseball, fine. Aaron Judge is in his seventh season. Jeter became captain in his eighth. But Don Mattingly never won a ring, put up good numbers, great numbers, prolific numbers early in his career. He was a Yankee captain. I mean, is there anybody that embodies what the Yankees like to say they are about than Aaron Judge? Is there anybody? Sorry, Brett Gardner fans. It's an inside joke. Because Yankee fans are still hoping beyond hope that Brett Gardner will somehow wind up on the Yankees. Back in a Yankee uniform. But to me, Aaron Judge is everything you want in a captain. He's fan-friendly. And he's putting up prolific numbers. You know, a lot of guys bet on themselves and it doesn't necessarily go great. This guy, and yesterday, thank goodness, he finally said what we're all thinking. Now, I think Meredith Marakovitz, I wish I'd grabbed the quote, but Meredith Marakovitz, who does the Yankee games sideline reporting on Yes, said, hey, what are you... You know, what gives you this confidence to get up in these situations and do this? I'm the best player on the team. So I'm the best player on the team. And I'll tell you right now, Aaron Judge deserves $40 million. Let's just say it. Max Scherzer, who plays once every 5 days if he's healthy, which he isn't right now because he's going to miss 6 weeks. How's that investment working out for the Mets? Max Scherzer, as a pitcher, got 43 large, $43 million per season from the Mets in annual value for a 3-year contract. And we're talking about a Max Scherzer that's logged a lot of miles, too. A lot of innings on that arm. And you don't think Aaron Judge, who's going to play 140 to 150 games a year, if healthy, you don't think Aaron Judge is worth that at the age of 30? Well, I wouldn't. I was jostling with a friend on Facebook yesterday. Good guy, good baseball guy, who said, well, I wouldn't give him anything past the age of 35. I said, are you kidding? If you don't, somebody else will. The Dodgers or the Red Sox or the Cubs, one of these teams that have tons of money because of their different TV deals. Somebody's going to give Aaron Judge $40 million a year if he continues this pace. It's just a question of whether it's your team or another team. And God knows the Yankees have this money. They can afford to give it to him, and they should. And I know Aaron Judge says, well, I'm not going to talk about the contract during the season. If the Yankees offered him $40 million over 8 years right now, he takes it. That deal could get done tomorrow. If the Yankees said, hey, we're ready to make this commitment. Slap the C on him, he becomes the captain. He's already the face of your franchise, for crying out loud. So what are you waiting for? It's just bad business. And it just goes to show you, some organizations succeed in spite of themselves. And in spite of their own wishes, it almost seems, to fail miserably. And some organizations despite best intentions and smartest moves, don't succeed for various reasons, injuries, whatnot. But the Yankees are sitting right here with a mix of veterans and a mix of younger guys, one of the best rotations in baseball next to the Dodgers. You've got a face of your organization sitting right there. And you're in danger of finding a way to screw this up. Imagine what it would look like in 2023 if Aaron Judge is wearing a Boston Red Sox uniform. Imagine it. Because as much as my friends like to troll on Facebook and say, hey, he's going to look good in a Red Sox uniform next year. And as much as I sometimes like to say, it's not going to happen, it could happen. All right, I do have some LIV Golf stuff and PGA Tour things to get to. We'll do that coming up in a couple of minutes. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to like the video you're watching. Make sure to subscribe to the show through our Decibel 88 page on YouTube. And do the same with the podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, do it. You'll get it every day delivered to you around 3 p.m. usually. It'll be released 3 p.m. Eastern, noon on the left coast. If you get a chance to do that, I'm going to try and get the podcast a little earlier today. Like I said, I got so much to get into today. I have to hold some of it till tomorrow. I had so many topics that I wanted to delve into. We'll get into some of them tomorrow. Latest PGA defections. What Nick Faldo is saying about Brooks Koepka is getting some attention, and I agree with Sir Nick on this. We'll get into all of that as we continue. I'm Jason Page. Thanks for being with us. Don't mind me on this Monday. Stay with us. It's Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. Glad to be with you on this Monday edition of the show. We're with you Monday through Thursday live from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. And then we are available via podcast. Our friends at Believe, B-L-E-A-V. You can go and check that out. If you haven't liked the show on YouTube, make sure to do so. If you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure to do that. We're always grateful for those that do. And we're just getting started. A lot of cool content coming down the pike. So there is more LIV Golf news to get to as it relates to player defections from the PGA Tour. I'll get to that in a moment. First, I want you to hear from Sir Nick Faldo, the Hall of Fame golfer, multiple major winner, revered in the sport, about to leave CBS at the end of this golf season, finally going to retire, and no particular reason, just wants to spend more time with his wife and out on his ranch in Montana and all the different things he wants to work on, both philanthropic and personal. Nick Faldo, I want to play this because he brought up a great point about LIV Golf. And in particular, Brooks Koepka, somebody like him leaving for LIV Golf and what he views as the pitfalls for somebody like a Brooks Koepka leaving for LIV Golf. Listen.
By his decision.
Extremely, because he's a wonderful example of the challenge of playing the tour. I mean, we have one thing called missing the cut, which is what they suddenly don't like. But that's part of our sport, you know, to commit to an event. And Brooks is a wonderful example. He started way out on, I believe, on the Asian tour, and then he wins in Europe. We were there on CBS to watch him win at Phoenix. He wins four majors. He's climbed as well. Last week he's saying, get out of my face. All I want to do is play golf and go and win, and somebody then hit his number, and off he goes. And I'm really surprised at that, because I know when he's out there, it's a boatload of cash. There's also a boatload of mandatory personal appearances and that sort of thing they're going to be doing. I'm sure he's going to find that gets very old very quickly. And, you know, the other very important thing is enjoyment. You've got to enjoy what you do in life. You can't be standing on a golf course and thinking another reason why I'm out here. You just can't fake that. It's an important thing in life to go know what you're out there for, and you think, I love this, I'm really loving it. And I cannot see how these guys right now can think it's a...
It is such a great point from Sir Nick Faldo to bring this up, explaining if these guys think they're just going to go out and get a paycheck for playing golf, you're going to have to be a mouthpiece for this tour. You're going to have to be a mouthpiece for how much you love the Saudis for throwing all this money at you and changing the sport. And a guy like Brooks Koepka, he's right, isn't going to want to deal with it. And a lot of these guys may not want to deal with it. You know, Phil Mickelson's talking about, well, quality of life. I'll be able to spend more time with my wife. Do you think LIV Golf's giving you $200 million so you could wave your little hat in the air, to borrow a line from Tom Hanks in a League of Their Own? Just come out, wave your hat around. Do you think that's why LIV Golf and the Saudis are paying Phil Mickelson $200 million? Of course not. They want evangelists. They want you spreading the word. And if you become pariahs, eventually there ain't going to be anybody to spread the word to anyway, because everybody's going to stop listening. These guys are going to become afterthoughts on this renegade tour. It's like the XFL. Again, I know people say it's not fair to compare the two, but it is in this regard. It's like the XFL. The novelty is there for a couple of weeks, and then he hate me is a footnote in history. And guys running to try and get a rolling football to see who gets the ball first in an XFL game until somebody blows out an Achilles. This is not real golf. Making the cut means something. Grinding that putt to just get to the weekend so that you get a paycheck for you, your caddy. The expenses you paid. That's part of what golf has always been about. Not handouts designed to draw great players who then go out and don't have any motivation to play well. They're getting their check regardless from the Saudis. Not to mention the fact, not to go overtly political here, because I'm trying to stray away from that. This is a Saudi government that had no problem offing a U.S. journalist, somebody who had legal status here in the United States, and cutting them up into a million pieces. Sorry to be graphic and hope you're not eating your breakfast. So what do you think if all of a sudden Brooks Koepka doesn't like the way the Saudis are running the tour or how much they're asking of him? You're going to think twice before you criticize them. This ain't Jay Monahan. This is MBS. This isn't a fine from the PGA Tour and a slap on the wrist. It could be losing a wrist. This is a completely different world these guys have jumped into. I mean, it really is akin to jumping in bed with the mob. And that's what it is. There's gonna come a time where they might ask for something you can't deliver. And then what? If the Saudis say, we're not going to write you the check anymore that we're paying you on an annual basis, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's literally the Saudi government you're fighting against. They don't let women drive. You think they're going to have any trouble cutting you off, Brooks Koepka or Phil Mickelson or Matthew Wolf, who is reportedly the latest to defect to the LIV Golf Tour? There's rumors of Henrik Stenson jumping ship as well. The number two amateur golfer in the world has announced he's leaving for LIV Golf. And again, for some of these younger guys, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. But for Brooks Koepka, who's made a fortune on the PGA Tour and through the majors and a reputation and endorsements and all this stuff. This is, it's just idiot. I cannot get over the fact. I can't get over two things. One, how short-sighted these guys are, and that they don't have anybody who can wrangle them in, who could sort of pull them in and say, wait a minute, think about this. That there's nobody in their camps that can do this. That's one. And the other is that despite all the bad press that these guys are getting, more guys are joining the LIV Golf Tour. I want to know, and I'm curious to know this, and this is the last thing I'll talk about, and then we'll get into a couple minutes. We'll get into my favorite hobby story from the weekend. This LeBron James basketball card. The one thing I'm curious to know about is, because somebody's had to have asked this question in these meetings with Greg Norman and the people that are running LIV Golf. Somebody's had to have asked these questions. What's the vision beyond this big launch of eight events and a bunch in the U.S. and all the money and all that? What's the vision beyond these events? What's going to make you be able to challenge the PGA Tour? Do you have a TV deal in the works? Maybe you do. Maybe Amazon Prime or somebody like that. I don't know. Again, I don't know who's going to be willing to jump in bed with the Saudi public fund or whatever it's called. I don't know. All it takes is one. We already know that in sports. All it takes is one. Who's going to be that one? I don't know. But maybe they've articulated a vision that to some degree they've been able to sell these guys on a bill of goods that's got them buying into the idea that this can challenge the PGA Tour. I don't know what it is. I sure as hell haven't heard anybody with a degree of knowledge mention who it is. I don't know. Maybe somebody does. I'm not sure. Second LIV Golf Series event this week, Portland, Oregon, Pumpkin Ridge. I'm Jason Page. We're back to wrap up this episode of Don't Mind Me in a moment. All right, getting set to wrap things up on this Monday edition. Don't Mind Me. I'm Jason Page. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to give us a like. Make sure to subscribe. You can leave a comment as well. We're always grateful for that. We're with you Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern. And anytime, if you just go to YouTube, you'll be able to watch the show if you missed it. And if you like the audio thing, the podcast thing, the kids love it. We're on every podcasting platform, thanks to our friends at Believe, B-L-E-A-V. Go and check out the podcast, which you can get from all your major podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, all those different places, TuneIn, Stitcher. Go and check it out. Or you can just go to Believe.com and check out the whole list of podcasts that are available there as well. So, as anybody who knows me, anyway, knows, I'm a big baseball card collector in general. I have some basketball and football too. So anytime I have an opportunity to get to a card story, I'll do it. Big story from this weekend. Panini Flawless. Panini, which makes the Donruss brand and their own Panini brand. Anything that isn't baseball, they have license to actually have the logos on. So Panini makes some really cool products in that regard. Baseball, they don't have the rights to the logos, so their baseball product isn't obviously as heralded as everything else they do. They had a basketball product called Panini Flawless. And just a short time after it was pulled, this one card, it's a LeBron James triple NBA logo that was pulled. So these are three different NBA logos that were on LeBron James jerseys over the years. And it was thought the card could get as much as $6 million at auction. Saturday night, And I don't know if this says something about the card industry. Maybe some people might want to argue that people are starting to pull back a little bit from the buy, sell, the flipping, all of that stuff in baseball cards. I can't necessarily speak to that. I wouldn't say I'm an expert in that. I guess we could talk to somebody about it. But the LeBron James card that was thought to get up to $6 million on Saturday night at Golden Auctions, you know how much it got? It wasn't $6 million. Now look, for the person who pulled this card out of a box, I'm sure they're not complaining about the fact that it got $2.4 million. It's million with an M. $2.4 million for this LeBron James card. That's a far way from $6 million, though. It's a long trek from $2.4 to $6 million. More than double. And again, does it say something about the card industry? I don't know. Let me know. Put it in the comment box. Send me a tweet at the back page if you want. You could do that too. Let me know what you think. What does it say that the LeBron James card only got $2.4 million instead of the $6 million that people thought it would get? Are people starting to overvalue cards? Is the market starting to, you know, is the bubble in danger of bursting? God, I hope not. Because I got a bunch of boxes literally right behind me, and that would stink. But you never know. Happened in the 90s. People were left hanging on to a lot of cards. They, you know, how many Ken Griffey Jr. rookies did everybody think they hit the lottery with that are now, you know, $55 cards? Not sure. And that's how we wrap up this latest episode of Don't Mind Me. Thanks for being a part of it. Again, if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, that's Decibel 88, D-E-C-I-B-E-L, 88, the number. Subscribe to the channel. Like our videos. Tell a friend. Leave us a comment. Thanks to our buddy Leslie, who started watching the show this weekend. Always appreciate the views, my friend. Sent me some nice words on Twitter as well. Thank you. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast from Believe, B-L-E-A-V. If you're listening to us there, just subscribe and you'll always have it delivered fresh each day. That's how we like to do it. We'll catch you back here on Tuesday. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. See ya.